Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarky Las Filipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP podcast. It's just a two-man show for this week. Stan, C, and Raph Camus without Ro Moran because he is feeling under the weather. And, you know, we don't really have sick leaves on the show.
We don't.
But we
and
do
you
value...
don't have sick leaves
yeah.
at work.
Yeah. So in the interest of maintaining everyone's health, we do encourage that if you are feeling a bit under the weather, you take a day off. It's fine, right?
Every now and then.
Yeah, every now and then. We don't discourage you putting yourself on the sidelines, taking a seat on the bench just because of health. Health always comes first.
Health is wealth.
Right. And I think it's appropriate that we open with that because the NBA season literally opened with an injury.
To your...
beloved Celtic star recruit. Gordon
Star
Hayward.
Recruit kasi hindi pa siya naka-perform eh.
Well, he played just 5 minutes and change. And, okay, I didn't see it as it happened. I saw the replays like minutes after because I was brushing my teeth. I'd just gotten home from work and I just brushed my teeth, washed my face, try to wake myself up so I could watch the game.
The whole game, yeah.
Right. And I picked the moment where Gordon Hayward collided in midair with LeBron James. So I come out of the bathroom and I'm going back to the room with the TV, right? Yeah. And then I just see that the game had stopped and there was murmuring. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And everyone is huddled around Gordon Hayward. I'm like, oh no. And then that's when it hit me, fuck, this is a bad injury. And I still couldn't believe it for myself what I was watching on TV. So I had to go on Twitter.
And then when you check Twitter, it's so much worse.
Yeah, because that's where the screenshots were posted. You see that very graphic image. Let's not go there. That's completely unnecessary. All you have to know is that Gordon Hayward suffered a fractured tibia and a dislocated ankle. And an injury like that takes somewhere between 6 months to a year to heal. That means he's pretty much out for most, if not all, of the 2017-18 season.
But it is not career-ending. Yan lang yan.
Yeah, I guess that's the bright side. But, you know, for Celtics fans everywhere, we just saw our hopes for this season evaporate in a flash. And, okay, that's me being selfish as a fan, but really our thoughts, our prayers, our hearts go out to Gordon Hayward because you have to imagine how excited he must have been.
New team.
Back with his old coach from Butler, Brad Stevens. And then, you know, less than 6 minutes into the first quarter, he goes down with an injury like this. It really reminds me of Julius Randle when he got injured two years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
Diba? His first game. Or when Paul George had that injury at the Team USA scrimmage in 2014.
That one's traumatic.
But given how Paul George has recovered, he's now back to an all-star caliber player, it kind of gives me hope. And I hope Gordon Hayward does come back and come back to that level where he's an elite player.
Yeah. And he can contribute. I mean, his spot on that Celtics team is still going to be there when he gets back. There is no more wiggle room for the Celtics to add one more superstar. Wala na, di ba?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ito na yan. This is your roster for like the next 2-3 years.
Right. And it's kind of weird because the other wings in the rotation are all young guys. Marcus Smart is 23. Jason Tatum's 19. Jaylen Brown is 20. Terry Rozier is 20. So all of these guys are going to have to be shuffled in the wing rotation. And you think to yourself, like, I'm 27, right? And if I was on that team and something like that happened, I would lose my shit. So these guys are going to have to grow up way, way faster to fill in the shoes of Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. And I don't think it's an impossible task, but then it's just the style that they were playing in the preseason was nice to watch. And you think, well, maybe they adjust, maybe they make things happen. But end of the day, high upside for these younger guys.
I just want to see what they will do with this new opportunity.
I'm hopeful for your Celtics. And, you know, you're not the only guy who just lost the franchise guy this week.
Yeah.
I lost Aaron Rodgers this week for my Green Bay Packers.
NFL. I thought you were going to make fun of the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, no. Fuck that situation.
I feel
bad for those guys.
I think it's pretty funny because Nikola Mirotic and Bobby Portis got into a physical altercation this morning, Manila time, and it ended up with Mirotić getting knocked the fuck out.
His jaw is dislocated.
Right, right. So
fucking shit.
I don't know what happened. We don't know the details, but all we have to say is
closed door shit.
Why did you have to fuck with a 6'10", 250-pound guy from Arkansas?
Who wants to fuck with everyone, diba? He was banging pretty hard last year. So,
I don't know. I just find it really funny. But one last note, going back to the Celtics really quickly before we move on to pro wrestling, which is what this podcast is actually about. This is one of those instances where I'm finally regretting Jay Crowder being part of the Kyrie Irving trade.
Yeah, because
we really could have used Crowder now.
No, not just, man. It's like he's very underrated.
No, I'm not sure if you saw the game. But if you saw the game, LeBron was fresher than ever because Crowder was taking all the heat on defense. Mm. So when Crowder absorbs the biggest load defensively, that frees LeBron up to do the amazing things he was doing on offense earlier.
Because all I saw was the stat lines. Because I have both those guys in our league.
Dude, LeBron was amazing today. Like, he was just spinning around and losing Marcus Smart and just overpowering everybody. It was nuts. And you know, it goes back to Jay Crowder just absorbing all the effort and the workload. So...
But this is small sample size.
Yeah, yeah, it's small one game. It's one game. But as a Celtics fan, it's going to be a very long season. I mean that in a very bad way.
I was going to say, on a positive note, since it's such a long season and small sample size, Golden State Warriors, not so bad. First game, bottom of the division, I don't mind.
Yeah, because there's only been one game in the conference, dummy.
Exactly. No, so, but Romeo Moran tweeted this to me right before we went on air. So I saw it, and then he's like, Western Conference, bottom seed, Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, but every other team is going to play again in a few hours. By the time you hear this, every other team will have played. So it doesn't really matter at this point.
True.
So, whatever.
True.
Anyway, let's talk about actual wrestling because we do have some stuff we have to address. So let's start off with one of the bits that we mentioned last week, and that was Neville apparently having walked out on Raw. And then after we recorded and released the podcast, the reports came in. Nah, he was actually not booked last week.
Yeah, and he wasn't there at all.
Right. He wasn't on Raw this week, though. And I haven't seen this week's episode of 205 Live. But from what I know from Raw, there still isn't any updates on Neville, which is kind of weird.
I think they could have handled this a little better just by, you know, addressing the situation, telling people at the very least he's still under contract and he has something to do. But
the thing about the Neville situation is Ryan Satin of Pro Wrestling Sheet reports that he's also been asking for his release. So that part is true. The part about him walking out, not necessarily. So
the situation still holds.
Right. If there is a situation where Neville is actively asking for his release, then I don't think that's something WWE can address. You get what I mean?
I get that.
So that probably explains why we haven't seen nor heard from Neville in the last couple of weeks. Speaking of people not being seen on Raw, Nia Jax was noticeably absent as well. And there are rumors that she too did walk out, but now given how the rumor about Neville was proved to be fake news,
yes,
how sure are we that Nia Jax actually walked out? So we don't know what her situation is.
At all. Because right. There's nothing. There's nothing on social, there's nothing, you know, it's all rumors, and it's just her absence is news.
Yeah. I hope that she's just taking personal time off,
yeah,
and that it's allowed, because people do need their personal time off.
Yeah.
But issues with Nia Jax aside, I think it was pretty refreshing not seeing her, actually. Because there was a matchup where Mickey and Bailey going up against Alexa and Emma.
Yeah.
Right? And then you had Sasha and Alicia doing their thing.
Yeah.
So this is a situation where Nia Jax is nowhere near the title picture, and she's nowhere near a prominent storyline as well. So in a way, it kind of gives her a soft reset, to take a term that you used last week. This is a soft little reset where she can come back and be inserted into whatever storyline, and it doesn't feel too forced. It doesn't feel
inorganic.
Yeah, inorganic. Kasi nawala siya, diba? So in a way, she kind of comes out from nowhere again, right?
Which is her thing now?
No, naman. I wouldn't say that. No.
But it's happened twice.
No, again, once. I wouldn't say that either. It's just that I think I've gotten tired of Nia Jax to the point that I'd like to see her in a different situation. So her being off TV for a week or two, I think will do her well.
All right. Fair. The thing with Nia Jax is that she's never been... We know that she's never been in the same league as this current crop of women. She's the weak link. I would say that.
But I also think that she fills a very good role that just can't be filled by anyone. That is the female Hoss.
Yes.
Right? Because outside of Tamina, she's the female Hoss. Siya na naman talaga eh.
Siya yung Hoss in the purest sense.
Right. Diba? She's 272 pounds. They actually announce her build weight. Diba? Mm. So, I like having her around. I like her presence. It's just that it's been grating kasi the way that Raw's booked their women's division is they just cycle the women through the same storyline. Parang next woman up. Right?
And so, then you challenge for the belt this time.
Exactly.
And we switch
the
belt up.
So, I kind of feel that it would do the women's division well if they actually move the title out of Alexa and gave it to someone else. But given the trajectory that Asuka is going, I don't think that's bound to happen. Which is kind of sad because it means now we're going to have an Alexa-Asuka collision course. And I kind of don't want that yet. Yeah, I kind of don't want that yet. I would rather that someone like Mickey or Sasha again or Bayley get built up to the point that they're a credible champion.
Uh-oh.
Have Alexa win it back or have Nia Jax win it. And then have Asuka take Nia down at, say, WrestleMania.
Fantasy booking aside, it's... I don't think it's Nia Jax's to lose at WrestleMania if they're going to give Asuka that moment. But I do think Asuka at WrestleMania is the asterisk plan right now.
I would love it. I would love for it to be Nia Jax. Because she would be the perfect heel to go up against Asuka. Like, you have the huge Hoss that nobody can really take down, or can only really take down in a perfect storm of circumstances or in a group.
Which they have built her up to be over the past month.
Exactly. And then you have Asuka, who is just a plain ass kicker.
So, and the thing is, she has cycled through the division. Right. Most of these girls, I think.
I think she went through Nia Jax on NXT.
She went through Nia. She did go through Nia. Actually.
But I wouldn't mind seeing that on the main roster again. Again, Asuka's gone through a different set of storylines over the last year.
Yes.
And she was on NXT. So, with you, for example, you didn't remember off the bat that she and Asuka and Nia Jax had their own little feud.
And it was short.
Yeah, it was short-lived.
But it was...
Because Nia Jax got called out.
Exactly.
Right. So there. Anything else on Nia Jax or on the women's division before we move on?
No, not much. I mean, the only thing with Alicia Fox not getting the shirt, and that's her deal now. The bad 10 year. It's a small thing, but then I also realized, yeah, she's never had a shirt in 10 years.
But she has won the Divas Championship.
Exactly.
So at least she's been champion.
Yeah, and you don't have that much to be mad about, diba?
Obviously, it's a storyline, Camus. What the fuck?
No. It's just they could have gone a little deeper with it.
Shut up, Camus. Anyway.
You get that one.
Let's talk about the Shield. Because we're still on Raw, and we are going to get to TLC predictions in a bit anyway. But we have to talk about the Shield and how they pretty much doubled down on the Shield reunion as of this week's Raw. They're back in their Kevlar attire.
Everyone's in the Kevlar. Everyone's doing the entrance.
Yeah, they did the entrance at the top of the show. They did use Roman's theme, though. That wasn't the OG
Shield.
Theme. But it had the Sierra Hotel India hook.
Yep.
Which is always great. I'll always pop for that. I think the big question heading to TLC surrounding the Shield is, was this all too forced? And was this all happening too fast?
Yup. I will say yes to both, because the thing is, if you gave this, I'd say another month to stew, without necessarily booking them as fast and as, you know, it's not just rushed there. It's not just rushed at this point. It's getting a little sloppy. And that comes into play at the end of the show. Na parang, I feel that the Shield could have used a little bit more time to settle their issues. Kasi, di ba? You come in, oh, we're buddy-buddy again. We all facing adversity. We're all gonna be in this together. But then you ignore all of this bad blood that still is unsettled and still could bubble under the surface, diba?
I think that's a very great point. Because Roman did have his issues with Seth.
Yes.
Even though Seth's biggest issues were with Dean, which I addressed last week.
Yes.
I'm going to have to contradict myself here. I don't think the transitive property necessarily applies.
Nah, I'm good with you.
Nah, just because Dean is okay with you, me being okay with Dean, I'm okay with you na rin.
Yeah.
Right? Because Roman is still a different person.
Yes.
And Roman did have a whole year where he was totally out of the Seth and Dean story.
Yes.
He was focused on the Universal Championship, focused on Braun Strowman, focused on Brock Lesnar, on Samoa Joe. all of these other opponents, and yet you have this opportunity where Roman was being beaten down by the same guy who beat down Dean and Seth, and immediately nirespahan nila si Roman. If you were in that situation where you had this long-ass feud Mm-mm. with somebody who was your friend, Mm-mm. would you immediately accept their help the first chance you get without questioning their motives, without questioning what they want out of it? Because Dean did have that long stretch with Seth
before they finally
won the titles at SummerSlam. So I appreciated that. But the fact that they didn't have that with Roman, feeling ko dun sila nagkulang eh.
Oh, and it's something that you can't retcon. It's not something that they can retcon, but it is something that I think they need to address as soon as this whole five-on-three match is over and done with.
There, I'm glad that you mentioned that too, because that's pretty much how they're trying to build adversity towards the Shield. Because when they first built up the Shield's match at TLC, it was originally Miz and Cesaro against the Shield. Yeah. So in a 3-on-3 setup like that, it's pretty obvious the Shield's going to win, right?
Yep.
So to kind of plant seeds of doubt in your mind, they put in Braun Strowman,
who isn't doing much anyway.
And then they put in Kane, who's returning from out of nowhere for whatever reason.
For campaigning!
We don't even know why he's back in kayfabe. Like, and this is something that Ro and I always pick on whenever Raw does this. Now they're leaving us to connect the dots on our own. Now, why is Kane here? Why is he attacking Roman Reigns?
What is he doing?
Is it because he's trying to avenge the Undertaker's retirement at Roman Reigns' hands at WrestleMania?
Which he hasn't said yet.
Exactly. So we don't know why, diba? Was it because Miz paid him off and his corporate side told him to unleash the demon again and let him loose?
We don't know.
It's kind of annoying, and it's frankly frustrating because they didn't give this enough time to breathe.
Yes.
That said, is it a good idea to have all these guys just ganging up on the Shield to make them look like baby faces at this point?
I think it's not a terrible idea. You know, in theory, it is not a terrible idea. It's just the wrong guys.
Why is it the wrong guys though? Because I like the Strowman pick, honestly. No, if we're stuck with the 3-on-4, I'm glad Strowman's there.
Yeah, that's fine. Parang when it was 3-on-4, but Strowman counts for 2, diba? Na parang in your head,
yeah, okay,
Strowman counts for 2.
Yeah, yeah.
That's perfectly acceptable. Na parang he's the one who shifts the scales in their favor and makes it, okay, well, we can book it this way. Kane is either fodder in this, or he has to be all kinds of supernatural for this.
I don't think he's going to be fodder, because you don't bring Kane back, especially a legend like him. At this point, we can call him a living legend.
True.
You can't bring him back just to make him fodder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mema siya eh. Sayang siya. Sayang. Right? The thing about having a situation like this is that I like how fine it paints them as going through adversity, going through doubt,
yeah,
and it doesn't make the Shield win at TLC a foregone conclusion.
Mm-mm.
What I don't like is that they're doing this in place of the story that they were supposed to tell. That being Roman trying to resolve his issues with Dean and Seth.
So it's more of they're taking the easy way out instead of deepening the character.
Yes.
And resolving those issues to get to the point that, now I know what it is. It's more of they fast-forwarded past that resolution.
I wouldn't say that they fast-forwarded. You were actually on the right track earlier now. Instead of going the hard-working way where they fleshed out the backstory and made sure that the reunion made sense, they instead took the low-hanging fruit of just piling on, stacking the deck against the Shield such that you have no choice but to root for them kasi tangina kawawa ka naman kung di man kaaway mo and two of them are monsters.
Wala na silang oras, no? I was gonna say, because
TLC's on Monday.
That's why. If they had one more episode just to plant the seeds of doubt within Roman, then I'd buy into this completely.
No, I think it should have gone for another couple of weeks at least. I don't think one extra week would have immediately solved yung problem.
Di naman immediately solved, but at least put those pieces into play.
I guess, but again, there's nothing we can do at this juncture, diba?
Tama.
I was having lunch with my dad, and I was watching Raw. This was yesterday.
Okay.
So I was having lunch with him, and he was asking me, oh, the Shield are back. And and he asked me, is this going to be an extended run? And I'm like, you know what? I think so. We don't know, but probably. Because I don't think this is going to be a one-off after TLC.
Oh, no.
Because the Universal title picture is going to be Brock Jinder, I guess. Kasi sila magkalaban following Jinder's challenge on SmackDown Live.
We hope.
So,
but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
With that in play, I'm guessing that the Shield will be part of a Survivor Series team.
That has to happen.
Right, because these five guys, they're probably going to be Team Miz already at Survivor Series, and they're just going
to unless they give Strowman something to do, and then they insert Axel. I can live with that.
That's not happening, Kamish. So what makes this sad?
Yes.
What makes this sad is that they set the bar really high for Survivor Series last year with the brand warfare.
They did.
When they were only 3 months into the brand extension.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you've had an entire year and change of the brand split, plus a superstar shakeup that took place post WrestleMania, it would have been the perfect time to have a SmackDown versus Raw 5-on-5 again.
Mm.
So I hope I'm not predicting it correctly. Now it's going to be the Shield and two other guys versus Team Miz. I hope that doesn't happen because I would much rather see Team Raw and Team SmackDown again.
Or they could have both, but a very diluted version of both.
Yeah, yun yung caveat, right? Yeah. Like, remember how last year Survivor Series, the elimination tag match, got pretty diluted because he had a 10-man tag elimination match.
Yeah, and the women's
elimination tag match. And then the men's one.
Men's one was the worst.
The women's one was the worst. Yeah, so, diba, parang nakaumay siya, kahit na sabihin mo, they saved the best for last and they gave you 1 hour of really compelling storytelling through an elimination tag. Nakakaumay pa rin siya. Which, for some reason, Raw Creative actually learned their lesson from, and they didn't end up booking tables matches and chairs matches and ladders matches.
Or stairs matches.
Sorry, that's still the worst. Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but back to the point. Now, they're probably learning their lesson, and I hope that they book the next month well so that we get a good Survivor Series pay-per-view, one that actually is worth setting up a viewing party for.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had one since 2014.
For Survivor Series?
No, I mean a really good one, viewing party worthy. Even though we didn't have one.
Yes.
Right? When Team Authority went up against Team Cena, I would argue that was viewing party worthy.
Hmm.
Especially given the Sting appearance at the end.
Yes.
Right? So it just would have been.
As confusing as it was,
it just would have been perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Anything else on the Shield thing, on the Shield reunion that you want to bring up before we get to SmackDown this week?
I like the shirts. The new Shield shirts.
Yeah, they're okay. I mean, I will always hate the Roman Reigns logo. There's nothing I can do about that. It's just
a spider.
It's terry bad. It's terry bad.
So. It's incredibly bad.
Yeah. Right. Okay, SmackDown. There are two things that we got to address on SmackDown this week.
First,
we talked about Jinder already.
Yes.
The first is the fact that Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura are kind of in a rut right now.
Oh, yes.
They're in a rut in the sense that they're just running in place. We have no idea what their story is aside from, hey, these are the top two baby faces. We have two heels. We need an opponent. Let's send them there. Face them. End of story.
Not compelling.
Not at all.
Not compelling. They're getting the top guy treatment that I think they do deserve in a man. But
no, let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
They're not getting the top guy treatment. They're getting the Undertaker treatment. Remember how when Teddy Long was a GM?
And then it's like, every time, it's like, you got a one-on-one match with the Undertaker.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Now it's, you're in a tag team match with Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura.
I want to see where it goes, because if...
No, I don't.
Other, no, if one of them turns on the other...
You have a story
mission accomplished.
Sure. You have
a story
there.
But until it happens, mema to.
I guess, to an extent. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't agree completely, but to an extent, yes. So, Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura obviously had to team up because of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which leads us to...
Sami Zayn
just being the smarmiest heel now. And I love it.
The opening promo is quite possibly one of the better promos of the year. Di naman promo of the year candidate, but one of the better ones of the year.
I would say it was Sami's best promo, full stop.
On the main roster, yes.
Yeah, okay. On the main roster. Yeah, I think he did have a very good promo on NXT, right? Yes. During the Neville feud and the Kevin Owens feud. Yeah, okay.
And a couple good ones there. But this is Sami, you know, showing that side of him. And at the same time, he pulled in a lot of indie cred kanina on this episode of SmackDown.
What do you mean by indie cred?
He referenced a lot of things that, you know, guys like me who have followed... Being Bryan Danielson and Sammy being El Generico, you just looked at it and you're like, Oh, mano. Because they had history. The two had history. And then when you watch the two in the ring, and knowing that you never got the two of them in WWE, nasasayangan ka. And this is my layer. This is the deep secondary layer to it.
And that's you coming from the perspective that you actually watch these guys in the indies. Because yes. I never got
you
to.
You never got to.
I never got to. And it still cut to the core. Because I like how Sami Zayn is an asshole on the mic.
Yes.
And he's an asshole when he moves. But when you look at it, really, it's not like he changed much.
Yes. It's subtle. It's so subtle.
No, it's not subtle. I wouldn't say it's subtle.
No.
It's just that it's not so overt.
It's
which
yeah.
Okay, fine. It is subtle.
It is subtle.
Right. Okay, I'll take the L on that one. I mean, he still does the let's go thing.
Yes.
He still dances on the way to the ring. It's just more obnoxious now.
Yes.
So whereas before he turned it up to 10, now he's turned it up to 12.
13.
Or 13. Whatever.
It's ridiculous.
You get the idea.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
Yeah.
He's turned up the being obnoxious in such a way that you just can't help but say, God, I want to punch this guy.
Yep. And the thing is, this episode of SmackDown, he went on the deep end. He went off on the deep end, and in the match that he had with Randy and Shinsuke, he actually low-blowed a guy. Something I've never seen him do. Now, you know, unprovoked, just pure heel tactics, low-blow the guy for the win, get the Helluva kick out of the way, win the match. And it was, you know, it's slightly surreal, but it's, at this point, you're like, well, if he's going to go that way, you're assigned to it.
Yeah, I don't really know what, I mean, I guess you're trying to process your feelings. And sadly, I'm really enjoying the fact that he's effective as a heel. Like, he's not even like Kevin Owens, where see Owens, people boo him out of respect.
Yes.
People are booing Sammy, period.
Because they don't like him.
Because, they don't like him anymore. And, like, people are going, Sammy
well,
sucks.
It's also he took pot shots at
Bryan
Daniel
in
Bryan
Seattle.
In Seattle.
Yeah, so that kind of makes sense, right?
And again, I go back to sample size. This is small sample size.
But he's doing very well,
very well.
In this limited sample size. And I love how he's just performing and getting those crowd reactions. I think it's a testament to how Sami Zayn is more flexible than most people would have given him credit for.
And at the same time, it's not like, how do you say this? We've addressed the whole, it's not a full-blown heel turn.
No, it
in
is a
traditional
full-blown
sense,
heel
in the traditional
no,
sense.
No, he is a heel.
He is a heel. But he didn't have to have that major switch, right? He didn't have to.
There was
the
a major switch. He was insulting Daniel Bryan. He turned on the fans. There was a switch. What are you talking about?
No, in what? He didn't come out all angry. And we addressed it last week.
Yeah,
we talked
about that.
That type of, he hasn't had that major flip of the switch.
So you're saying he wasn't a Neville, where Neville used to be all smiley,
yes,
Mighty Mouse, and now he's Mad King.
Yeah.
Right.
He's still.
Yeah. Because I think that to go to flesh that point out a little bit more, not all heel turns have to be that way. It's just that we've been conditioned such that if someone has turned heel, they're automatically angry all the time. Like Eddie Guerrero, when he turned heel.
Exactly.
He stopped smiling and just started getting all serious, right?
Yeah.
Or someone like Goldust, who stopped being silly and just started going on the offensive and going crazy. But to go back to Sami Zayn.
Yes.
Edge and Christian mentioned on their podcast this past week when they interviewed Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Now, Sami is pretty much the Ricky Steamboat of this generation. And to have turned him heel this way was a really big coup.
Yeah.
On their end. Because I was too young, obviously, to have watched
Steamboat, yeah.
And I'm also too young to understand the gravity of the analogy.
Mm-mm.
So all I really understand is he's the upper mid-card guy who everybody loves, but always just fell short of the big one.
Yeah.
In many ways, Sami Zayn kind of does fit that archetype. And now that he's a heel, it really refreshes the character.
And it now opens up that glass ceiling for him.
I wouldn't go that far yet, but I would say that he has a puncher's chance at the very least of breaking through that glass ceiling the way Kevin Owens did when he won the
Universal
title.
Yeah. Now, I think the only analogy, you know, say on the same level in current wrestling is Hiroki Goto in New Japan. Now, he always comes so close, never wins the big one, but he does win some. He's still relevant. He still stays relevant.
I think what makes Sami different from Goto is that Goto is still relevant.
Yeah.
Right?
And
he won the Never Openweight Championship, didn't he?
Yeah.
This year.
At Wrestle Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's a big moment. Sammy hasn't had a WrestleMania moment. He's never had a singles feud. And throughout his time on Raw post-brand split, he was a chihuahua at best.
Yep, at best.
And so, it's been hard being a Sami Zayn fan up until this point.
And that's why this is a good thing. That's why the turn has really done wonders for his career. Because I'm not sure who said this. I think it was Shoemaker. This could very well be a star-making role for Sami Zayn.
And at the same time, and this is the point that I just really need to make right now, is that he's still relatable. Eh?
Yeah, you absolutely.
Still, you can still buy into him being the Syrian, you know, the guy who helps out the Syrian refugees out with his clinic and all that good shit. But you still see the character. You see the character more now being, how do you say this, in control of his life, as he liked to put it kanina.
I would actually attribute it, to him.
Go.
To him being very smarmy. Kasi,
naturally smart.
Yeah, it's natural. And I guess some of it is KO rubbing off on him.
Yeah.
But the way that he took real life emotions from real life experiences and just phrased it in such a way that I don't give a shit and I will cut you down.
Yeah.
I will cut you down because you are a sellout, Daniel Bryan. Who hasn't... Like us people, I'm sure we know someone who we would have wanted to say those things to. We had those experiences where we wanted to get these emotions out of the way. And Sammy, having gotten that out of his chest in the worst possible way because he really did cut the core.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great manifestation of heel work.
And it's not, you know, it's not something that we've been giving him credit for, but now he's...
We have been giving him credit since last week.
We have on this podcast.
Why? Whose pulse do you check? Do you have a pulse on like the entire IWC?
No naman.
Oh.
Selections.
You can't speak for everyone else.
Okay. Let's stop there.
Can't speak for everyone else. That's pretty unfair.
It is.
Alright. Anything else on Sammy before we get to predictions?
No naman. I'm good.
All right. Before we get to predictions, though, huge shout out to our friends from Yellow Cab for a successful campaign launch yesterday. And if you haven't seen the commercial yet, I believe it's out on social media
right
now.
The ad's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
I've seen it on YouTube.
And it features all the influencers of the latest campaign, including Up Dharma Down.
No, it's UDD now.
Oh, sorry. UDD. Yeah, thanks for correcting me. Pepe Jokno was the director.
And he also directed the segment that we did for PWR.
Right. Yeah. I believe the president of Flip Top, his name is escaping
Enigma.
Me now. Enigma.
You.
He's part of that as well. And of course, PWR, also part of that launch. So
there's also like Sky Marines, Tattoo Parlor, and some graphic t-shirts guys whose names escape me now.
Yeah. So do check that out. And for anyone who's still wondering, yeah, the Yellow Cab sponsorship is legit. There's a reason why Vendetta is presented or co-presented by Yellow Cab. So
co-presented. Okay.
So congratulations to MDJ and the rest of the Yellow Cab group, and thank you for having us. It's great to know that we have friends and allies in the corporate world.
Hey.
And that PWR is moving up in the world as well. So
hey. First sponsored show.
Yeah, yeah. Check out the videos. I'm sure the guys had a lot of fun filming it. And
yes.
you'll see some matches, you'll see some moves, some cameos. Were you in the shoot?
I was at the shoot.
Yeah, you were at the shoot, right? So you would have probably seen Kamas's head or like his back or some shit.
Well,
or
not
his,
yet,
his
not
chance
yet.
The rapper cap.
No, it was actually, what was I wearing that one? I'm wearing my Haoming cap on that one.
Okay, whatever.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, you know, I think the PWR exclusive one is coming out sometime after this podcast is released. So watch out for it. It should be coming soon.
Yeah. Right. So hashtag Fuel the Hungry if you want to check out everything related to that campaign on social media.
Yes.
Let's switch gears and talk about TLC. We've got only 7 matches to predict, which is quite the relief.
It's not going to be... I don't think we're going to end up with 7 matches by the end of the night.
I guess, but at least it's not tables match, then a ladders match, and then a chairs match, and then a TLC match. Because by the end, by the main event, na-dilute na siya kasi you've had all the stipulations... used in some fashion,
right? Until you get to that point.
Right, and then it's confusing for the guys and the women involved because they'll have to call dibs on certain spots para hindi mo ulit later on in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that last year.
Yes.
Becky and Alexa had that tables match and then there was that ladder match I think it was Luke There's Harper and Dolph Ziggler, and then yes, there was a chairs match
with Kalisto
and Baron Corbin, right? And then you had the TLC between AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Right. I'm not checking the browser right now because. Yeah.
I'm
just going off of memory here. No, you know what? I've got the tab loaded up on my phone. I might as well fucking load it.
Find the history for 2017.
Yeah. Tama ba? Yeah, the ladder match is The Miz and Dolph Ziggler, not Luke Harper. Yeah. Why the fuck is I thinking about Luke Harper? Chairs match, we got that right. Tables match, we got that right. Hey, AJ and Dean, we got that right too.
Yeah, not bad.
All right, not bad. Okay. So let's go through the list of this year's matches, starting off with the pre-show, Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox. Unless they're serious on rebooting Alicia Fox and making her more of a threat,
yes,
this is a Sasha Banks win.
Yes, has to be.
Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James. Sorry, the Raw Women's Championship. Yeah. I think, okay, this is my hot take.
Yes.
I will weirdly put faith on Raw to not fuck Asuka up.
Okay.
That being said, that will require that they don't hotshot her to the title the way they did Bayley.
Okay.
Which means I am totally open to the possibility of a Mickie James win.
To set up
another heel stealing the title from her, whether it's Alexa again or Nia Jax, maybe a retooled Alicia Fox, maybe a retooled Emma. I don't know.
Someone.
Which eventually leads to Asuka being the champion by WrestleMania.
After WrestleMania?
By WrestleMania.
Ah, okay, so going into WrestleMania.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think 6 months, they can build that up well if they don't screw Asuka up the way they did Bayley last year.
Or somebody gets hurt.
Or if somebody doesn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have a hot take here. I'm going to call for Mickie James to win.
I can see that. And I will accept that.
No, but what's your prediction?
My prediction would be Mickie James, because that, if you're playing that scenario out and I sort of like it, yeah, I agree. Mickie James.
But I just made you buy into it.
You did. Because at the start, I was like, Alexa Bliss holds a little bit longer.
Dude, she's held the title for 6 months.
No, that's why. Just a little bit longer.
No, sorry. 3 months. She dropped it to Sasha.
She holds it on a little bit longer to establish somebody else. And until you give that somebody else that moment.
All right, Asuka versus Emma. It's Asuka for sure.
That's Asuka.
Yeah,
Kalisto. But I think this is going to be a good match from Asuka. It's not going to be a straight squash.
I hope so, because it's on a fucking pay per view.
We've seen worse.
Yeah, shout out to Randy Orton and Rusev from SummerSlam. All right, Kalisto and Enzo Amore for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Kalisto, please, for the love of God, please.
You know what? Given the Cruiserweight booking, I think it's going to be Enzo. Because by that point, they can always say, I'm a champion again, but it's a different reign. So,
and then Neville comes back.
No, yeah.
If so ever.
Neville comes back.
Beats the living shit out of him.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that is if he comes back.
Okay, so Kalisto ka ako, Enzo Amore.
Yep.
All right. Tag team match between The Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher versus Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann.
This is interesting, though, that it's not on the pre-show. It's on the main show. I sort of want Team Cedric to win this one.
Yeah, I think Team Cedric wins this too. Here's the thing about this pay-per-view, which makes it really interesting. You have a loaded main event where you have 8 top stars there,
mm-hmm,
which frees up the mid-card.
8? Wait. 7.
Plus
eight,
Kane.
Sorry, plus Kane. Yeah,
it's eight.
You're right.
Which frees up the card for 2 cruiserweight matches and 2 women's matches. Three women's matches.
Oh, I know.
It's Alicia Sasha, Alexa Mickey, and Asuka Emma. When's the last time we've had 3 women's matches in 1 pay-per-view? And then 2 cruiserweights pa. So, in a way, Raw is actually digging deep. But if you look at this card, Jason Jordan isn't in the mix. Matt Hardy isn't in the mix. Oh. Right? Elias isn't anywhere near here.
The Good Brothers aren't here either.
So, yeah. Who knows?
I
like that the cruiserweights and the women are getting love because in previous pay-per-views,
na-echo
puera sila, right?
Oh.
But I kind of feel bad for the Good Brothers and Titus Worldwide, right?
Titus Worldwide, bad for them.
Right. So let's get to this one because our friend Red Olero actually calls this the very first intergender, interspecies match in the WWE.
With spiritual shenanigans.
Featuring the demon and Sister Abigail. First, I think this is just bullshit.
This is a mess.
I hate this. Can we just stop with it? Can we move the fuck on? I'm done. I checked out. From the moment Finn Balor appeared in Halloween face paint, I was like, okay.
I'm done.
This jumped the shark. Officially jumped the shark. I mean,
it jumped the shark a month ago.
I think it jumped the shark when Bray revealed himself to be Sister Abigail.
Yeah, and then panda makeup.
Yeah.
It's panda makeup, guys.
I will say the demon wins just so it's over. Because I know
I need a definitive ending to this.
I know what, that nobody...
It's
a feud,
it's
obviously.
A feud. It's, I mean, obviously
but
it's
nobody
a feud,
in
but
management it's... gives a fuck about Bray Wyatt, so... So Finn Balor's gonna win and Bray Wyatt is gonna get upset and like move to NJPW or some shit. I don't know.
That would actually be the best case scenario.
I just want this story to end for the love of all that is good.
True.
Alright, main event. The Shield versus the Five Heels. Braun Strowman, The Miz, Kane, Cesaro, and Sheamus in a 5-on-3 handicap tables, ladders, and chairs match.
I have to ask the question to you, Stan. Do you think that the Shield are gonna pull a fourth guy? No.
They're not.
So it's three...
Because it's 5-on-3. They've already established that it's going to be a handicap match.
Okay. But, you know, nothing. No shenanigans with this one. 5-on-3, straightforward. Undertaker's not coming out. No.
Undertaker's retired, comes. What the hell?
I'm just thinking.
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay. I say Braun Strowman picks up the win for Team Miz.
All right. That's fair. I will say that the Miz's team also wins. I just don't care who picks up the win. But I think the Miz's team has to win. Because one, if the Shield wins, then tapos na. Parang ina, reunion tour na lang to, literal. Right? And they'll just run roughshod over everyone else that they'll run into.
Hmm.
Which will get boring in a month's time.
Yeah.
So I think the Miz's team has to win. We need to delay that gratifying moment where the Shield comes out on top. Kasi, fast-forward na natin yung feud eh. Minadali na natin yung reunion nila.
And then you fast-forwarded the feud ba?
Right. Pucho siya. So, you know, let's not do this. Let's not do this anymore.
Let's not fuck it up, diba?
Yeah. I think the Miz's team needs to win. If it sets up a Survivor Series match, fine.
Yeah.
I just hope that it becomes fun and that the Shield pick two guys who... would be worthy of that spot.
John Cena, maybe.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Yeah. And someone else?
Meh.
Or turning Samoa Joe? No, not really.
No, not really.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
But yeah, I want the Shield to lose here. That way, maawa pa tayo sa kanila.
Yeah,
and I want Roman to take the loss.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
No, I need Roman to take the loss because this story has done well.
For the other two.
No, not for the other two. I mean, it's gone a long way towards legitimizing Roman as a babyface again. Kasi naawa ako sa kanya.
Ako hindi pa eh.
And like, I found myself needing Seth and Dean to help Roman out. Which means that I am on Roman's side.
You're invested in him.
Yes, that's the biggest takeaway. So, for this investment to retain, or to remain,
to build,
rather.
To build
and to build even more, I need to see Roman Reigns take... The pinfall.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
I'm good with that.
All right, we're good.
I'm good with that. That's predictions.
Yeah.
But do they turn this into a tables, ladders, and chairs match?
Dude, it's already a TLC match. You weren't fucking listening. What the hell
was
wrong
not,
with you?
Was not. I was so concerned with the Kane showing up that I'm just like...
Yeah, you're even worse than Ro, who's like always on his phone when we're recording and just...
I spaced out, man.
He also spaces out. And like you're way worse, and that's saying something because I call him out like off mic all the time. You're no, I will not shake your hand. You will take the L.
I do take the L. All
right, let us know what you think about our predictions for TLC. You can hit us up. It's at Ro is War for Ro. Obviously, he didn't get to do predictions this week, but whatever.
He might do it on Curious Cat if you ask him.
Yeah, if you ask him there. At Kayvon Camus for this guy. At _Stancy for me. For the podcast, it's at DSGP Podcast on both Facebook and on Twitter. And, well, we are 2 or 3 weeks away from Vendetta, which is happening November 5th.
5th of November. Easy to remember.
At the Power Mac Center Spotlight. We're about to release some really sweet footage. Some ooh, promo ooh. Packages.
Ooh, those are gonna make it?
Which I've already seen as of this morning.
Nice,
they are
nice,
badass to the
nice,
nth degree.
Nice,
I assure you, they'll
nice.
Be really, really good.
Nice.
So watch out for those along nice. With the Yellow Cab campaign. So
MWF Balikbayan.
That's in mid-November, so we'll probably have a chance to talk about that more as we go along.
If you happen to be in Singapore and listening to this on October the 20th, our girl Crystal is performing with SPW?
Yeah, I think. SPW. Yeah, we're totally bad.
But she's performing
Wrestling Asia Reload.
Wrestling Asia Reload on the same card as Pete Dunne for the Queen of Asia Championship.
Yeah, the Queen of Asia Championship. She's trying to be the first one to hold that championship. Yeah, it is an SPW show.
SPW show.
Wrestling City Asia Reload. I don't know what drugs you're on because you're like way more hyper than you're supposed to be.
It's the tea.
So yeah, it's an SPW show. It's Wrestling City Asia Reload. And like Gama said, Crystal will be on that card in a 5-way match for the Queen of Asia Championship or whatever belt. It is. Yeah. And Pete Dunne's going to be part of the show. So if you're there, let us know. Take pictures. Let us know how Crystal does. Let us know how Pete Dunne was. And shout out to all the people in SPW for making this happen. And all the best to everyone involved.
Yup.
So that picks. Brings us to the end of our podcast, which means it's pick of the week time.
Picks.
All right, I'm going to start this week because you took dibs last week.
Yeah.
I am going to take the Gift of the Gods ladder match.
Ooh.
Between Ooh. Pentagon Dark, who won the championship, and Son of Havoc. Which that was really
that
fun.
That was wild. That was yeah. wild.
I mean, it wasn't as wild as Hell of War.
Oh, but.
But for what it was, Gift of the Gods is pretty fun. Oh. Yeah, and finally, Pentagon has a championship. I'm kind of okay with Pentagon winning over Son of Havoc.
But.
No, there is no but. I'm fine.
Okay. Great showing from Son of Havoc.
Yeah. Really, really good stuff from Lucha Underground. And their season finale is coming up this week. It's a 2-hour show with only 3 matches. So it's a steel cage match between Matanza or Kuya Jeff. And El Dragon Azteca Jr. And then you have the 3-way gauntlet match. Or 3-way match for the gauntlet. Between Mil Muertes, Cage, and Jeremiah Crane. And then you have the career versus title match between Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma.
Yeah.
Notice that Rey Mysterio is nowhere on the card, by the way.
Yep.
So I hope he somehow plays into all of this.
It should be fun. I mean, the whole Ultima Lucha 3 has been fucking trip.
Oh yeah.
It's been a fucking trip the past few weeks, so do catch that one.
I'm kind of sad it has to end, but I'm also kind of happy because that frees up my Thursday by having one less show to watch.
True.
Anyway, so my pick of the week
is a non-WWE pick, and I think it's the first time we've both not had WWE picks at the end.
Pretty sure this has happened before. Like on a Wrestle Kingdom weekend or something.
Ah. Well, Wrestle Kingdom weekend was... Anyway, never mind. My pick this week is Hiromu Takahashi versus Marty Scurll at... what is this? War of the Worlds Chicago. Great show. Do catch as much of it as you can, but then...
Was this for a championship?
No, it was just the two of them dicking around.
Seeing heel. No, seriously, because I don't follow ROH, so...
Marty Scurll was more of the heel in this match, because...
So Hiromu is a face?
Hiromu can come out as a face when he uses Daryl, who just got married, and it was more.
Yeah,
there were more jokes.
Daryl.
There were more jokes in this match than they should have had, but great match all around. Na parang you don't see the comedy stuff out of Marty Scurll as much as you used to, but in this match, masaya siya panoorin, and Hiromu is great matchup against him. So do try and catch that. The entire War of the Worlds tour of ROH, I think, how many shows did they have? They had like 3 weeks worth of shows. Very good, very successful, and good gauge for how much ROH can draw moving forward.
All right, thank you very much for that quick ROH update.
Yeah!
And that is the end of the podcast for this week. Thanks so much for staying until this part. If you have made it this far into the podcast, do click review. Let us know what you think, or give us feedback on Facebook and on Twitter. You know where to find us, right?
Subscribe to the podcast, man.
Yeah, that really, really helps, believe us. So on behalf of Romaran, who is under the weather, and Raf Camus, who is higher than a monkey on cocaine, my name is Stan C, and we are out of here.
Peace.
Peace out. Sit down.
Be humble.
Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious.